let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you today.
Hello.
We are going to talk about this great post that you have on ancienthopes.org. I loved this one when I read it through. I think that it really brings into focus a lot of everything that we've been talking about Joseph. And so it's this idea that Joseph is, I don't know how to say it, a Jesus character or a predecessor to Jesus. There's so many parallels in his story and Jesus' story.
Yeah. You know, we've talked so much about the fact that this is like a great story. Matter of fact, it's so unique in its time. There was nothing like it. I mean, a lot of the stories of the pagan world at that time were mythological characters. You get a sense that these characters are not mythological, that they're grounded in history. And in a way, it's kind of like the beginnings of what we might call history and historiography, right?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. So it has that historical element. It has the theological depth that we've been talking about for so long, right? It's got everything. Family systems theory, what we call today, right? If anybody can't see their family situation in this, well, you know.
Then you don't have a family.
You don't have a family.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just spiritually deep. It just takes us into the depths of spiritual formation. But, you know, still, as great as this story is, and it's the best of its time, and it really hasn't been really surpassed until what we're entering into now, next week, and that is, Holy Week, right?
Yeah, right.
There is no other greater story, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, and so the story really points to something, And I'll capitalize the S in something.
Yeah.
Because if it's just what it is, in the end, so what?
Yeah, that's true. And there's so much of it where I could do that if I wasn't more aware of what was going on. And if we weren't talking about that, as I've done many, many times before when I read this story, is that it's a great story about this family, but they're just regular guys and they're at a time in history and things happen and then the story is over.
Right, right. But there's something about it with that capital S.
Yes.
That makes you pause. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that something is far greater than the sum total of the characters and stories, the events and so on, you know, and that something is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And so what we have here is, this story is full of types, and a type has an anti-type, right? The type, if you've seen seals, right? You've seen impressions, you know, which is when you look at the type, you can't really figure out what it is, right?
Okay.
Until you impress it into wax, or if you put ink on it and you impress it on the paper and you say, oh, wow, that's the anti-type.
Okay. Yeah.
That is sort of the reverse, but the clear reverse of what's hidden in the type.
Right. So it's sort of like woodblock paintings where you have the opposite image.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, isn't it, that artists are so good in writing everything backwards.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, to do something like that in just in the front words is like an amazing thing, right? So I have no idea of what what goes into artistry of that. But, you know, when you think about this story, that's what's happening here, right?
Yes, right.
And so it's an impression, you know, the Greco-Roman world had dyes, and that, you know, and that dye itself, you know, is like the type, you know, and it's obscured and backwards, but it's made clear when once it's used on paper or on whatever medium that you're using, right?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
So the grand assumption of types is this, that history repeats itself. That means if you're a student of history, student of the past, student of what God has done, all the way from the beginning of creation onward, that the secret of the future is hidden within.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, people always say the past repeats itself. And
exactly.
That's sort of what you're saying here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's specifically and uniquely true about Scripture, because Christ so fills the Old Testament and these stories that he is the meaning behind everything in the past,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's in Revelation is that. It's very organic. It's growing from little seed that has all the important stuff in it, right? DNA and all that sort of thing. And as it grows, and all of a sudden you see what it's becoming. But you look back and you see that it's always been there in the seed.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's true for the Garden of Eden. Okay, if you study the Garden of Eden like we did, all of a sudden, Revelation starts making sense.
Okay, yes.
Beginning times, like the end times are like the beginning times. And, you know, that's what the Germans like to say in their German language.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zeitgleich Endzeit type thing, okay?
Yes.
And I'm
mm-hmm.
sure that, you know, that doesn't mean anything to our listeners here. But, but it's even more than that. It's that Jesus mystically fills everything, okay? It was his spirit hovering over the face of the deep, right? From the beginning, pondering what he's doing. And he infiltrates every detail of the past. So it's more than just being eschatological. In other words, these passages have an eschatology that's fulfilled in Christ in space and time, but it's more than that, in that Jesus is let me read from these powerful words of St. Paul. He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him are all things whole. I mean, look at that. Okay? This is very mystical,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Christ is the power behind every detail of creation and history, right? So to be students of the past is to be students of Jesus Christ. We have the hermeneutical glasses of Jesus, and we see everything through Christological glasses.
Yes.
Right? And that makes it all the more powerful for us. And that's
right.
That's why we're going through all this trouble, Danny,
yeah.
of going through all the detail, every detail that we can in the Old Testament.
Yeah, yeah. So that we can see how that lines up with the life and works of Jesus.
Right.
So
right.
my question is then, why in the world, since this is all kind of all out there, and very visible to people, why is it that the Israelites, after Jesus, the people of Israel, after Jesus, the Jewish community, after Jesus, they could not see that he was the Messiah?
Right, right. And of course, Paul and the apostles, well, even Jesus himself was befuddled with that, right?
Yeah.
Everything culminates in him, and he says, this generation... It keeps on coming back. This generation, you generation was the one that this antitype is you know, finally broke into history,
right?
And you rejected it, right?
Yeah.
And it's he's he's blaming them for not having, well, if you look at the beginning of John, I mean, the whole thing turns on this, you know. Light came into the world, but the world rejected it. Yeah. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him, which is what's called the tragic tone by the old theologians in the Gospel of John, right? So he held that generation accountable, right? But on the other hand, and this is what's so mysterious about it, is that St. Paul says, basically, this is a mystery that's hidden. Yeah. And it can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. So it makes complete sense to you, Danny, okay?
Right.
But without the Holy Spirit enlightening our eyes, we cannot see what's obvious in front of us.
Yeah. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Basically, this is a mystery that's hidden. Yeah. And it can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. So it makes complete sense to you, Danny, okay?
Right.
But without the Holy Spirit enlightening our eyes, we cannot see what's obvious in front of us.
Yeah.
We don't have the power to do that because we don't have the Christological eyeglasses. We're just looking at, oh, that's history. These parallels, I don't know. They're just, you know, by chance, or maybe they're invented, you know, by the New Testament church. But if you look at the New Testament church, you'll see how they are surprised themselves. And they're looking at these things that happened in Jesus' life, and they're saying, "My, this is, you know," and you can just get the excitement of all of a sudden the Old Testament comes alive to them.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So they, yeah, you can tell that they did not just sort of write this.
They were not smart
in a parallel way.
Right. Yeah. That's why Jesus did not go around getting the best scholars around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
These apostles could not possibly invented all this stuff.
Yes.
Okay. You know, because they were just fishermen, they were uneducated, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's St. Paul who was educated, but by the time he, in his conversion, all these things were already sweeping the world.
Yeah. They were already known.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So that's why Jesus picked a bunch of, you know,
Regular guys
who didn't have the savvy to invent this stuff. It's just, you know, right.
Sure, was frustrating for him, though.
They did have the you know, pleasure, just like we do, of saying, whoa, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Look at this. Yeah, right. So all things, if anybody's in Christ, kaine katesis in the Greek, everything's new. You know, even the old becomes new.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, we have all these parallels, right? You can think of some. What are some of the parallels you can think of?
Well, the silver, I think, the fact that they were, you know, both sort of sold for silver.
Joseph is sold.
20 and 30.
The sealers, right. Yeah. Silver. Silver is really the, is one of those motifs that are very important.
Right.
You know, it's hidden in the sack, you know, sold for silver and all that sort of thing. That's one of those little motifs that you know, keeps the story together.
Right.
And of course, you know, Judas, right?
Yes.
Selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, right?
And then there's the whole pit.
The pit.
Going in the pit versus going in the grave.
That's right. And the blood on the robe given to the father who mourned.
Yes.
Okay, the father mourning, you know, shutting his eyes off from Jesus on the cross. You know, because he's become lost to him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God the Father, same kind of thing.
Right. Right.
I also read, this is really amazing to me. I didn't even think of this, but I also read somebody figured out that Joseph was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh, and Jesus was 30 when he started his ministry.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of a connection there with their ages.
Yeah. And, you know, and Joseph is the favorite.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He's in his mind, in Jacob's mind, you know, he's the firstborn because it's from his favorite
wife. The
wife
that he loved, yeah.
Right, right. And of course, he was giving the priestly robe. We talked about that, right? Yeah. And so you had that authority. And of course, what happens? His brothers, what? They hate him.
Yeah, right. They don't
like
him.
And they want to put
him
to death. Okay. And of course, that's what happens with Israel. You know, they hate Jesus and they want to put him to death.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he threatens their power.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Their right. Because he's in a position that he shouldn't, they don't think he should be in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Jesus, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Another one is the Joseph providing bread for the famine to save the world.
Yeah.
And Jesus being the bread of life to save the world. I think that one's my favorite one when I think about it.
Right. Right. And of course, the bread is, you know, Jesus in John chapter 6, it's as clear, crystal clear, is that it's his body that he's offering for the salvation of the world. Now, Joseph isn't that, but he is kind of like a god to the Egyptians, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, who provides bread and grain to the whole world and saves the whole world.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
That's really incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, great. That's a great one. That was really definitely my favorite one when I thought of I read through a bunch of them. You know, I had to look it up just to say, oh, come on, you know, what are all these things? Yeah.
Isn't it glorious when he, you know, he feels like he's completely lost in prison?
Yes.
There's no hope, forgotten, what happened. All of a sudden he rises up and they stand before Pharaoh, you know, and, you know, that's a resurrection type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Good. Yeah, so, you know, even little things like that word appeared.
We
talked about that last year. Jacob appeared to his father, you know, as a theophanic language.
Right.
You know, Jesus appeared, you know. You know, you can think so many of these things, you know, and we see that what it is, it's a precursor to the really, truly greatest story ever told, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a story of redemption. And if you look at any good movie, okay, any good movie that holds your interest, like, it's interesting, on the flight there and back from Rome, you know, that you can see movies, okay? So my daughter said, oh, you know, you got to look at Dune, okay? So,
oh, yeah.
So I'm looking at Dune, right? The whole thing is gospel parallels.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay? You can't miss it, right? And what makes the story and what holds the story is its closeness to the greatest story ever told.
Right, yeah.
Right? All these messianic themes, think about them, right? You know, and without that framework that's given to us, that first given to us in Joseph's story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and fulfilled in Christ, you know, wow, you know, you don't have a story because it's redemption. And what do we all want? No matter who we are, Danny, we want redemption.
Yeah,
and if
absolutely.
The story doesn't have redemption, well, then it's not redemptive.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I wonder if, you know, movie makers, producers, writers, screenwriters, they do this on purpose, I think. They have found a framework that really works and that people will love, and they just use that over and over in movies.
Yeah, and any good, you know, writer will realize, well, these are Christological messianic, you know, themes, right? Yeah. So it's more than just an apologetic for Christ, okay?
Mm.
It's eschatological, and it's also deeply mystical, okay? How you can't hide Jesus, and even in the film industry.
Yes,
you can't get away. You see what I'm saying? You just can't get away from it. It just... It's so human to its core, right? The basic themes of sin, death, atonement, resurrection, right? And so even though the Old Testament readers of this did not see Jesus in it because it's before Jesus, right?
Right, sure, yeah.
I think they did see Jesus in their spirits and in their souls because even though... They sensed there was that big something.
Something,
And it hasn't been revealed yet. It's right. a mystery, but it spoke to their inward soul, saying, this, you know, they might not articulate this, but they'll say, you know, this story gives me hope that there's something,
right.
something more.
It's pointing.
Yeah.
It's pointing away. Yeah.
Right. Right. And of course, with Jesus, the full daylight, it shines upon us, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, without Jesus, the Old Testament's like a torso without a head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. And so the whole idea of biblical theology, that is these themes moving and growing and moving somewhere, really only is fulfilled in Christ, because he's the head, right?
Yes.
And without Christ, everything in the Old Testament is unfulfilled.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's just mm-hmm. unfulfilled. You know, that's what's different between Judaism, let's say, and Christianity, mm-hmm. okay? Judaism doesn't really do biblical theology like Christians do, because there's no real fulfillment.
Right. There's right? nothing that it
but
points
they're,
to.
They're experts. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at Leviticus now. If you look and read my stuff, I'm using Jewish scholars all the time.
Right.
Okay. Because yeah. they're very savvy and very, very brilliant in their reading of the text. And
yeah.
stuff
their
like.
Analysis.
Well,
yeah.
but that's not any different than what Jerome did and a lot of the early church fathers. Okay.
Yeah.
There's always that connection, right? But they had to go into a different mode of thinking, okay, in Judaism with their medieval text of, you know, bringing stories that brought the people together, you know, they certainly borrowing and using the Old Testament text, but there's no fulfillment. So, you know, Judaism is very different with regard to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Rabbinical literature is very different than, say, Christological Christian literature. And that's
yeah.
not the same thing bad about our brothers. I mean, I studied 6 years under Jewish scholars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can learn from each other, I think. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Great story. Great parallels. Joseph and Jesus.
That's right. We could have probably talked a lot more about this. And, you know, I mean, perhaps we will.
Yes. Who knows? Okay. Good. Thanks so much. Great conversation today. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.